We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. Carver Hyde's running it. A couple of things I want to get into here, see what it does to us. A, the Simmons story in Philly that he wants out and will not go to training camp, and he's done with the Sixers. The power move, the chess move by Simmons, checkmate. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm not playing here anymore. So he's forcing their hand. And we've seen this in every sport, right? And I guess particularly the NBA, but he wants out and that's the end of it. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to get rid of him as sure as I'm sitting here now that this has happened and it's escalated to this point. And then the other story I want to get into is Jimbo Fisher. They give him a new 3-year deal that will pay him $9 million a year. And he's the second highest paid coach in college football. I'm assuming Nick Saban's number one. And then my point is like, what in God's name is the reason for this guy making this much money with what he's doing, frankly, at A&M? At Florida State, he cheated, right? And then now he's at A&M, and he hasn't done anything there. They get bent over by Alabama, right? So why is that guy worth $9 million? I mean, explain that to me. I mean, you're talking, he's a million shy of John Gruden.
Like
John Gruden isn't worth $100 million. They gave him that money. And everyone will say, that's what the market bears. No, it doesn't. You cannot tell me that he is worth that money in College Station. And I don't think John Gruden's worth $10 million a year in Vegas either. Look, he has done nothing with the Raiders. Nothing. What has he done at all to deserve $10 million a year besides lose? I mean, that's it. Like, I'm done listening to anybody try to sell me how great Chucky this, all right? And then explain to me, Carver High, before I lose my temper, why Jimbo Fisher is worth $9 million. Someone explain that to me, at least, because it's just ridiculous.
It's total nonsense, to be quite honest. Like, I just didn't know. I don't understand why these schools do this. What is the rush to go and give this dude more years and more money when he's won you nothing? Like, nothing. Like, he hasn't even won a division. He loses to Alabama every single year. How, what is the, where's the fire to go give Jimbo his $9 million? Like, where's he going? Like, yeah, like, seriously, like, he's done nothing there. They've done zero.
He has 7 years left on the deal that he signed. Like, seven.
What's the problem here? Like, why did they need to go and give him more years and more money? And colleges do, these universities do this stuff all the time. And this guy hasn't won anything. Now, he won at Florida State. Fine. He got one national title, and then he basically had to leave because he cheated, and they had all sorts of problems there. But, like, he's done nothing at Texas A&M, sure. Did they win? You know, they finished fifth. They just missed the playoff last year. He lost Alabama, though. That's why he wasn't there. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
He's 26-10 in 3 seasons, 3-0 in bowl games. We welcome our radio affiliates to Farrell on the Bench. Sports Map, Sports Byline, Sirius XM, and Mightier 1090 in San Diego. He's 3-0 in bowl games, and they beat North Carolina in last year's Orange Bowl.
Wow, wow, wow. What an accomplishment for Jimbo Fisher. They beat North Carolina in the Orange Bowl. Like, what has he done at Texas A&M so far? What has he done? Has he played in an SEC title game? No. Like, what, hasn't even done that. It's absolute garbage.
They don't have to play Florida or Georgia this year.
Well, I got to tell you, they're going to win 10 games, but here's the problem. He's going to lose to Alabama again. So it's once again, it's going to be an empty. They're going to go 10-2 or 11-1, depending on if he beats LSU or not. because their schedule's cake. No Florida, no Georgia. He's got two tough games, Alabama and LSU. And he's definitely losing the Alabama game, and we'll see what happens in Baton Rouge. I think that's actually a road game for them. So if he loses that, they go 10-2. I'm going to take the over 9.5 because he wins 10 games, and it's empty. It's hollow. He'll play in some dopey bowl, and he'll beat, you know, some Big Ten school up in a bowl game, and then he can say he's 4-0 in bowl games. It's silly.
Were you surprised that he went there over staying at Florida State? I was.
Well, considering how much money they're paying him for not even, you know, really winning anything, I guess I can't blame him at this point. I mean, geez, they're giving him $9 million a year to lose to Alabama every year. That's pretty sweet.
Well, look, when you go 9-1 and you're 3-0 in bowl games, big bowl games, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. 26-10 in three seasons at A&M. So he's already coached 36 games there, 3-0 in bowl games. He's 55, 83-23 in eight seasons at Florida State. And, of course, he won the national championship with the Noles in 2013, which was the final year of the BCS system before the college football playoff went into effect. He reached the first college football playoff at Florida State. They lost the national semis to Oregon. It's Pharrell and a Bench. You know what? I got to tell you, I think that at some level, without a doubt, that at these schools, I guarantee you, there's professors that work at these schools that are livid over the money that they pay these football coaches and basketball coaches. I mean, it is insane. Some of them, the money that they make, and you know, nobody else is making that kind of money at these colleges at all, and they're not, you know, funded properly with the, you know, what matters most is these kids going to get a college education, right? But that's not what matters. What matters is the revenue that they make off of football and basketball, and really how much money they can suck out of parents to put their kids through college. It's a ripoff. Without a doubt, it's the most overpriced thing on earth going to college. You've had, you know, politicians left and right try to promise free college education for everybody, or Biden wiping out student loans and all this other nonsense. But the reality is, if you send a kid to college, if they go to a good school, like, I mean, let's face it, there's good schools and there's small schools. And good schools meaning big schools and small schools, right? Let's just focus on that for a second. I'm talking about if you go out of state to a big school, you're going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000 to $50,000 a year to send your kid to college. If they stay in state, they can do it for 10 grand. You can do it for 10 grand a year, right? But if you go out of state, you're going to pay through the nose. So my point is that they rip off students' families without a doubt. Because, you know, if the student has a family that can afford to send them to college, or like mommy and daddy can pay for you to go to college, then they're going to do that. If the kid has no support from his family or parents and they don't have that kind of money, then they apply for student loans, right? And scholarships. That's the only way to do it. And so they make all their money off of students, you know, every single student. Imagine that. Like if there's 40,000 students at Indiana University and every one of them is paying 37 grand out of state, let's say, the ones that, let's just say half the student body's out of state, hypothetically, which is more like a quarter of it is out of state and three quarters of it is in state. Do the math. Okay. This is not some kind of trick SAT question. Do the math. If every kid in state's paying 10 and everyone out of state's paying 37, do the math. and 40,000 students paying that kind of money, state or out of state. It's a boatload of money. And then they make all the rest of their money off of college football and college basketball grants and boosters and alumni forking money into the college, right? That's how they make it. So how in God's name can you explain paying a college football coach $10 million and then the number two guy $9 million annually? And then the college basketball coach, $5 or $6, $7 million, $7.5, $8 million. Let's say you're paying Alabama, Saban, and then the college basketball coach. I mean, you're talking $15 million at least, right? $15, $16 million a year per year just for your coaches. That's not what they pay the staffs of either on top of that, right? You cannot tell me, Carver Hyde, that there's not teachers, you know, professors and associate professors and student assistants, whatever the hell, everyone that works on those campuses teaching, that, you know, you're there for an education. But obviously you're not there for an education when all they care about is making money on football, basketball, and kids' families paying for them to go to school. And then when they're there, let's just get real here. All they do is drink and smoke weed and get laid. That's it. I mean, they get their education. Fair enough. You know what they do? They go to class and do whatever it takes to get that degree, right? Come hell or high water, steal, cheat, or otherwise, they're going to try to get that degree so that they can go work in the real world, right? That's the American dream, isn't it? Isn't that the plan from every generation I've ever known, is go to school, get a degree, get a job, work the rest of your life, be miserable. Is that not the Carver Hyde? That's the route that people take, right? And that's what they want to do. Some kids can't even try to get into college because they have no money and no scholarships, no grants, no academics, you know, free ride, any of that. It's a nightmare. How do you explain to a kid trying to get his degree, some kid from wherever, trying to go to college, and they're paying some football coach $10 million a year? I mean, to me, it's criminal. I think it's flat out criminal. I think it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I guess I could see in some capacity professional sports paying these kinds of salaries because it's a gigantic business. Fair enough. So is college. But in pro sports, these athletes make so much money and the coaches make so much money. It's not even funny. And they charge fans through the nose to go to games. Same thing in college. But when you're going there for an education and they're paying a coach that much money, is there not something wrong with that? Is there not like a bad taste in your mouth just at hearing that they're going to pay that guy $9 million?
Look, it's forever, for decades now, been absolute nonsense. The concept of academics and athletics, big time athletics. I'm talking football and basketball. I'm obviously not talking about, you know, the people on the road team. You know, that's not where we're at. There's been a divide.
They don't even matter.
They don't matter. I mean, they're actually going to school. Like, let's just call it like this. Like, they're, and that's great for them. They worked hard. Being a, you know, rowing the boat, and now they're getting a college education for free. That's great, good for them. But that broke off from football and basketball a long time ago. Now, is there a large percentage of football players playing, you know, at the top college level that, of course, do need that education? Because let's be honest, I mean, what's the percentage? What is it, 5%, maybe less, that actually make it to the NFL? I mean, actually
1%.
Play 1%. Like, it's even that small. So these kids do need that education, and it's being given to them for playing football. But there's been a divide for a long time now between athletics and academics. And when you see numbers like this, and now it's going to get even worse. I mean, you got some kid who's supposed to be a senior in high school getting $1.4 million. What the hell is he going to have? You think he's going to class? Getting a cool 1.4 for some NIL deal? You think Quinn Ewers is going to be sitting in History 101? I mean, come on. Let's get serious here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Please. It's an autograph company. He's going to sign a lot of autographs, but he's going to make $1.4 million before he ever plays a down at Ohio State. He's not playing this year.
And that's a lot of guys. Now, we all think that Bryce Young is going to be the real deal, right? I mean, it's Alabama. Everybody who plays at Alabama, they've got three quarterbacks right now in the NFL that are all, you know, Tua, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, all these guys that are going to be starting for NFL teams. But you still don't know. And he's got a whole bunch of NIL deals. You don't know if he's going to be at that level or not. And this is going to be college athletics now. Just more money pouring in, and they don't forget class. They shouldn't even waste their time saying that these kids go to class anymore. They don't.
I got to tell you, I think that everyone's excited that it's a player that they can now get paid, but it's going to be the haves and have-nots that get the money. And I think it is a major mistake, and they have dug their own grave. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So the best players in the country, the five-star kids, are all going to go to the top six schools in the country. And you're talking about, you know, A&M being on that, you know, Mendoza line right there at the top. I'd say they're the cutoff point, right? And then you got your normal top five teams that everyone talks about. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, you know, yada, yada. And all I know is that's where every great kid that's, you know, a five-star, four-star is going to want to go play. And before long, those six schools will only take five-star. They might already be five-star only with regards to who gets to go there. They may not even let a four-star into any of those schools already. I don't even know. I can't keep track of all the corruption. All I know is that you talk about it dividing the haves and have-nots. That's a certainty. That's already in place with regards to talent. You've got the six teams that matter, and everybody else just plays on Thursday or Saturday. They just play. And I told you, the only reason we watch is to bet on games because we already know who the best teams are, and we already know who's on TV every week, and we already know who's going to be in the playoff. And when they make it a 12-team playoff, we'll already know who the 12 teams are every year. It'll simply stretch from the top six to the top 15. And then
look,
there'll be a couple teams that get screwed, and everybody else will go.
Look, there's upwards of 75 games between Thursday and Monday this week. All right, 70, and that's a weekly basis in college football. Normally, they're all on Saturday. This week, because it's week one, they're spread out from Thursday all the way to Monday. Of those 75 games, at most five matter. At most. The only reason why we're playing the other 70 games is for us to try to cash tickets on them. That's it. That is the entire function of those other games, because the only five, there's five games that matter. There's 70 that are just there for tickets. That's it. Done.
Are you watching this Yankee implosion?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching it. It's embarrassing. It's sad. It's like every time in this place, Oakland and Anaheim, they just never win there. It doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are. They never win there.
I mean, what is happening here? Ohtani just scored on a delayed steal. Sanchez throws to second, and Ohtani steals home on Sanchez, and he can't tag his ass out. He was safe. Can you even believe
and let me
Sanchez
tell you what else.
Fell for that?
Well, not only did he fall for it, by the time he decided to lazily look over to second, the guy was, like, practically there already. Like, look at where the runner is when Sanchez decides to finally throw. He's by the umpire. I mean, it's like, why even throw the ball at that point? That's just boneheaded play by Sanchez. That's just silly.
And I'm glad I bet on the Angels tonight on PharrellOnTheBench.com because you saw me today on Coast to Coast. I said, Ohtani's not pitching, but I don't flip picks. So when I pick them to go with Ohtani on Monday, you know, when I do Tuesday's plays, right? And then they announce Monday night he's not playing Tuesday, he's not pitching, you would think I'd immediately jump on the other side. But I don't do that. I don't flip bets. I just stick with it. And I stuck with the Angels, and they're kicking their ass tonight, whether he pitches or not. And it really is, it comes down to this. Our boy Jameson Shots of Tyone, that's two straight starts at the Astros in Oakland and this one in Anaheim, where he is just getting lit up. And he can't throw strikes.
Nope.
I mean, that's all there is to it.
He was awful again tonight.
I mean, he really was. Honestly, he was awful. So, you know, just so we're clear, on tomorrow night, UAB and Jacksonville State play. Thursday night, you got a bunch of games, including Temple, Rutgers, Boise, and UCF. Ohio State and Minnesota. Bowling Green and Tennessee. I'm only announcing games
just the heavies,
like some substance. Southern Utah and Arizona State. Friday night, North Carolina, highly ranked, playing in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. And then Michigan State, Northwestern. Northern Colorado and Colorado, I guess. I mean, South Dakota State and Colorado State, no one cares about that. Saturday, the best games, Oklahoma at Tulane. They've moved the game to Norman, Oklahoma. What do you think Oklahoma's going to do to Tulane?
That's not going to be good on Saturday.
Penn State and Wisconsin in Madtown. Wisconsin laying 5.5 to Penn State. And then, you know, Fordham's playing Nebraska and Lincoln. You think Scott Frost can beat Fordham?
I sure hope so.
Can't beat anybody else.
Now, what I wonder is Frost going to, you know, because listen, he should be able to name the score against Fordham on Saturday. Is Scott Frost going to take out what's been just a miserable week for him of frustration? Is he going to take it out on Fordham on Saturday?
Of course he is.
Or is his team not good enough to be able to even do that?
Fordham sucks.
Yeah,
and Nebraska is twice the size of them. And this is the biggest cream puff candy-ass schedule I've ever seen in my life that they're playing them. Fresno and Oregon State should
be interesting. That's a good
game. Yeah, that's a good game. Fresno is not bad. They got a great running back. Alabama and Miami. Chick-fil-A kickoff in Mercedes at Atlanta. Indiana and Iowa is a good game in Iowa City at Kinnick. West Virginia and Maryland.
Go Hoosiers. Go Hoosiers.
Northern Iowa and Iowa State. How about Louisiana at Texas?
Good game. The governor's
San Jose
that game.
State and USC. I'm just blowing through all these other ones. Texas Tech and Houston. And there's a lot. Every team's playing. Georgia and Clemson. In the Duke's Mayonnaise Classic, that one's on ABC on Saturday night at 7:30. And then I'm just looking for other good ones. LSU and UCLA on Fox at 8:30. Nevada and Cal.
I like Nevada.
BYU and Arizona. That's the Vegas kickoff classic, BYU and Zona. And then New Mexico State at San Diego State, the Aztecs.
The bailout blowout. The late night game, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. The bailout blowout.
And then Sunday, Notre Dame and Florida State in Tallahassee at 7:30. I have friends going to that game. And then Monday night, Labor Day, Louisville and Ole Miss. I think it's at Ole Miss.
No, the game's in Atlanta. It's at Mercedes at Atlanta. Yeah,
same Mercedes too.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's quite a week of college football, Carver High.
And it's
a
great way.
Name a few.
That's it. You only named a couple. There's a couple other decent games on the docket as well, but you hit all the big ones, that's for sure. It's a great way to start the season. There's just loads of massive games. You have a top five game too, which, you know, that Clemson-Georgia game is, you don't normally get games like that to start the year. That's a monster game.
Monster game. Listen, if I'm you, I run to PharrellOnTheBench.com and just sign up and do it. I mean, honestly, I'm going to make you so much money your head will spin this year, as usual. It is what it is. I can't wait. I'm scared to death that Miami playing Alabama. I'm scared to death that number's at 20. What do you think's going to happen there?
Look, every year Alabama plays one of these games to start the season, and every year they absolutely whack these teams. I mean, USC, Florida State, every year they have like this kickoff game against somebody in Dallas or in Atlanta. And every year we think that the other team's going to show up because the number's around 14 or 17. And every year they win the game by 40. Like, it's just, it's hard for me
they
to.
Destroy everybody.
During the break, I'm gonna get you the last like 6 years, opening week Alabama, what the score was. Like, I guarantee you, they just completely whacked everyone.
It's Thursday night, Ohio State's playing Minnesota.
Yeah.
Are you getting sucked into that bogus 14?
I think so. I think I am.
They are just sucking you right in there, thinking,
row the boat.
Minnesota.
Row the boat.
I am scared to death to try to take them. They suck.
The Gophers.
Have they not always sucked, even with Fleck there?
2 years ago, they had a good year. They went 10-2.
10-2.
Last year, they weren't good. Last year, they weren't very good.
But 10-2 is the best he's done there.
Yes, that he's been. This is his fourth year. His second year, I believe, he went 10-2.
I bet he regrets going there. He could have had so many great jobs, and he went to Minnesota.
He was the top guy after that Western Michigan year.
Let's face facts. You can't tell me that's appealing, coaching the Gophers. Honestly.
Well, it's not Arizona State or, you know, UCLA. Weather-wise, that's for sure.
I mean, you got to be half nuts. It's Pharrell on the Bench. Carver High doesn't like having these uncomfortable conversations, and he's just basically, he's already said, don't even bring it up. I don't want to go there, and I'm not having any part of it. But, like, I got to just ask him. I mean, he's got to give us an answer here because it's crucial to understanding something clearly and as opposed to with confusion. So you just got to answer these questions, whether you like it or not. Are you willing to answer the questions? You just have to admit that you're going to do it.
Yeah, of course. I'm always willing to answer questions.
All right. So when was the first time you got leg, Carver High? When was the first time you had relations? I mean, real relations.
Jeez. I mean, ever or with my current wife? I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean,
I'm not
ever
even talking about hot Nicole here. I'm talking about the first time you had relations. Was it in high school? Was
yes.
it in college?
High school.
What did we have going here?
High school.
So you're you know what, junior year?
Early senior year. Yes.
Early senior year. Did you have a regular girlfriend at that point?
Somewhat. Yes, you could say that.
So then you finally, you know, as they say, cracked the egg. You finally got in there and got your business handled. Your first time you had relations, senior year at the sock hop.
Yeah, it wasn't at the sock hop, but yes. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that at the Friday Night Lights football game under the bleachers, you ended up convincing her to go to your Chevy Chevelle and have relations.
Look, I graduated high school in 98, not 68. I mean, it wasn't that far back.
Did you have relations in your Porsche Targa after going to the high school football game?
No.
Well, when it was all said and done, it meant a lot to you, I'm sure. And you've remembered that for the rest of your life. But it didn't mean more to you than signing up for Circa Millions 3 and Circa Survivor.
That's true. No doubt about that.
I mean, you forgot about her in a minute when you stood in the, you know, Circa at the counter and said, sign me up. And here's, you know, $9,000. I'm doing 3 millions at $1,000 a pop. And I'm signing up 6 times on the Survivor for, you know, $6,000. Here's $9,000. Sign me up. And I mean, that's what happened. Did it not happen?
Yeah. And it has, no doubt. I mean, that's clearly more important. And that's the way that I decided to go.
5 picks against the spread each week, 1 point for correct, half point for push, 3 entries per person at $1,000 a pop, 1 million top prize guaranteed, 4 million total prizes, quarterly payouts, no rake, 100% payback at a prize pool to the players. Survivor, you can sign up 6 times at $1,000 a pop, 6 million total guaranteed payout, 1 million undefeated bonus prize. Choose one different team straight up each week. Can I pick the same team twice? Ties and canceled games or losers, Thanksgiving, Christmas, a contest week each its own week, and 20 selections for the season. Entries for the holiday weeks previously selected will be eliminated. You lose. Undefeated bonus prize week 18. You have to choose Kansas City or Tampa. If you've chosen before, you lose. Sign-ups and have added Circa Sports Counters at the Circa, Golden Gate, the D, Tuscany Suites, Passawater Street Casino, Circa Nevada mobile app, and Circa kiosks, which are everywhere. There's more kiosks than water fountains. And you can sign up in Vegas, play anywhere, proxy style. Carver High admitting tonight that the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor clearly more important in his life than his first relations ever at the Friday Night Lights football game in his Porsche Targa.
It's 100% fact. There's no doubt about it. It's actually probably the first, second, and third on the list ahead of that. So there's nothing like being at Circa. Nothing like it.
There you go. In fact, I was talking to a guy today, and he said, you know, when are you going to be in Vegas for all? I said, listen, just go to Circa and stay there and go to that sports book, the biggest in the world. You won't even need me there. Just go there on your own, and you'll be good. And the guy's like, all right, I'll go.
It's glorious.
There you go. Boom. So tell me what Alabama has done in the last decade of season openers.
Here we go. 2012, they had the kickoff in Arlington at Jerry's World against Michigan. That was a 41-14 win over the Wolverines. The next year, 2013, kickoff classic in Atlanta against Virginia Tech, a 35-10 win over the Hokies. Let's go to 2014, a little closer here, also in Atlanta against West Virginia. 33-23, only won by 10 that year. I bet you they didn't cover that game against the Mountaineers.
They did not
cover. 2015, they opened in Arlington again at Jerry's World, this time against Wisconsin. 35-17, they beat the Badgers. We now go to 16. They played USC in Jerry's World in Arlington. They covered this one. 52-6, they beat the Trojans at Jerry's World. 2017 for Nick Saban. They opened in Atlanta again, this time against Florida State. 24-7, they beat the Seminoles. Low-scoring game. 2018, they opened in Orlando against Louisville. 51-14, they pounded them. 2019, in Atlanta against Duke. I don't know how Duke actually got this game. 42-3, they beat the Blue Devils that year. Last year, no kickoff game, of course, because of COVID, but they did open up against Missouri on the road. They won 38-19. So the moral of the story is, for the most part, when Alabama plays in one of these neutral site kickoff games against a pretty decent opponent, they usually whack them.
So it's weird because West Virginia covered against them, and then you gave me another one in the middle there where they won by like 17.
It was 24-7, and I remember that Florida State game. In fact, I believe it's funny we talk about Circa. I believe we were at the D that week, and we went home after that Florida State Alabama game. I remember that game. It was a Saturday night, and we were taking the red eye home afterwards. And Alabama did cover because that was one of those times I went and put a couple tickets in at the window. So the line was 17 or less for that game.
I think we ate at Andiamo that night.
We did, most likely.
Oh, the prawns there are the size of your fist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you. My buddy told me they got like a place in Circa like called Berries or something. It's no joke. No joke at all. It's very serious. It's a very serious problem that you have on your hands going into that place. I mean, it is a serious problem. I mean to tell you. So tonight, 34C, she ordered food at my, you know, like my favorite pizza place, right, that I go to. They all know me down there. They're like, Pharrell. And so I always order, you know, a lot. I order pizzas, garlic bread, wings, bang bang, shrimp, Caesar salad with chicken. I get it all going. I mean, there's a smorgasbord of activity. And she started, I said to her, I said, just get what I get. She said, what do you want? I said, just get what I get. I get the same thing every time. Just get what I get. She said, it's too much food. I said, listen, I know you don't eat or anything, but I go, you look incredible. You're smoking hot. That's great. I mean, you look fantastic. Let's do it right here and right now on the kitchen table. But I eat my face off, as you know, Carver High, when I eat. I don't have any kind of, you know, you remember going to Even Breakfast with me. I have a waffle and I have scrambled eggs and bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like some waffle.
Double up.
That's like a appetizer. You know, you got to, at dinner, you've seen me. I get the appetizers, a couple meatballs. You get the shrimp, the cocktail, prawn-sized shrimp. You get, you know, a little maybe pasta vajoule. You get a little, you know what I mean? Or like a little crab cakes, a little dabble, do you? Then you get the tomahawk, and then you get the dessert. You get the tiramisu. You get the, you know, and the double espressos. Carver High has like seven Tito's and all the food. Like, who just goes in and has a slice of pizza at the when they order from their favorite pizza place? I'm like, I said, get me everything. She said, it's too much. I said, get me everything. And if you don't, I'll drive down there and get it myself. I don't need delivery. I'll drive right down there and tell the guy, where's the rest of my stuff? Because the guys down there know exactly what I get. I just call up. I go, Pharrell, boom, and it all shows up. Guy knows. I mean, after 21 years, you think the guy knows what I order? Same guy. He knows the show, listens to the show, the whole deal. I'm like, bro. He's like, I got you, bro. Now I got 34C chimping out on me, giving me the, you know, Jimmy in my dinner order. Just have a Caesar and a couple slices. Like, what is that going to do for me? And then she tells me, don't give the dog garlic bread. And I'm like, I've been giving the dog garlic bread since he's been alive.
Yeah, a lot. Dogs, you've been getting a lot of rules lately, like a lot of static and a lot of rules. Like there's been a lot coming down your pike.
Don't give the dog garlic bread. The dog, my dog will eat dead birds. I mean, it'll eat a carcass.
Several dead
it'll
animals.
Eat a tire. It'll eat a tire with mustard on it. I mean, the dog will eat anything. They're like, dog can't eat chocolate. I'm like, don't eat chocolate. My dog will eat Hershey bars. I mean, this dog will eat anything. And she's like, it's going to die. I'm like, so be it. The dog wants everything. Give the dog what it wants. She gives the dog bones all the time. Like, you know, we go out for steaks. She brings the dog bone home. That's what gets the dog sick, that damn bone they bring from the restaurant. That's what gets the dog Rhea. Give it the big old T-bone from the, give him the tomahawk from the steakhouse. The dog will have Rhea for 3 days. And my dog don't just lick the meat off the bone. My dog eats the whole bone, man. Cranks it. Eats the whole thing raw. I mean, there's no like bone licking in my family. This dog is absolutely cranking the entire bone. Boom, done. You know, these little puppies that lick the thing for an hour. What is that? My dog devours. You go near my dog when it's got a bone, it'll bite your hand off. No joke. It's absolutely no joke. I can't even get my normal pizza order anymore, Carver High. We got to look into this. This is a problem. We got issues over here.
I'm surprised. This is several incidents now where you're just getting really a lot of static.
Grief.
A lot of static.
Grief. Ozzie Albies carried off the field tonight, Carver.
Ooh,
he took a shot off the knee. Fouled it off his knee.
And listen, the Braves, they better be careful. The Phillies suddenly have won 5 in a row. Phillies out of nowhere, winning some games.
It's true. Now, you still haven't told me what you think of Simmons. Do you buy that he I'll tell you what I do buy. I do buy that Embiid and Simmons are done being friends. And I do buy that Embiid wants him out, and that's the end of him. And I don't know if I buy he only wants to play in California.
I think that for a guy making the demands that he's making, if he wants to play somewhere else, he'll play wherever they damn well send him. And that's that. Like, that's the end of the line. Like, you can't be picking your spot.
I think they're going to send him to Minnesota or Cleveland. They're going to send him to hell or hell on earth.
Purgatory. Send him there like Sacra Tomato.
It's Pharrell on the bench. Guardy party hits into the double play to end the inning, going to the bottom of the 7-6-2 Angels. So Philadelphia wanted to see what they'd get for Simmons, and they asked for the world. Now they can't ask for Jack because Simmons wants out, says he's not going to camp. He's not going to go back. He's not playing in Philly. I'm not going to give you what you're demanding. They've screwed the whole thing up. They're not going to get Jack for him. Not what they wanted, and he's not playing there. So that mess is just beginning now, and it's turned ugly without a doubt, Carver High. It is absolutely turned ugly. I will say this. Besides that Yankee game right now, Braves lead the Dodgers 2-1, bottom six at Chavez Ravine. Padres up 3-0 in the seventh. Bases loaded, two outs, trying to add more. Brewers are up 6-1 on the Giants in the seventh. Astros and Mariners. How about that McCullers game with, I think, Kikuchi? Scoreless through five innings in Seattle. That's a great game. Rays 8-5 over the Red Sox. They own them. White Sox 4-2 over the Pirates. Mets 1-2 from the Marlins. 3-1 in the nightcap. Phillies won 5 in a row. 12-6 all over the Nats. They pour it on. Orioles upset the Jays 4-2. A's 9-3 over the Tigers. Rangers 4-3 over the Rockies. Cubs 3-1 over the Twins. Indians over the Royals 7-2. Cards Reds washed. So tomorrow, tons of games, even one college football game. On Thursday, slews of college football games, tons of baseball. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Pharrell Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.